totally redefine kindness according to what God says. If you weren't here, you would do well to get that and listen to that, or go on the website and listen to that. It was pretty amazing, powerful things that God says about what kindness really is. And so we redefine that, and we want to calibrate our life to that. And that's a difficult task, but that's what we want to do. We've talked about the inner workings of attitude. We've talked about defining attitude, the difference is between our personality trait and an attitude. And we've talked about the differences there. We've talked about all sorts of fun things. And today, we're going to talk about the source of our attitude. Have you ever said something, felt something, done something, and wondered, where did that come from? Sometimes in a really good way, sometimes in a really bad way. Where did that come from, that bad attitude? Or that sometimes you just have this great attitude which isn't like you normally in that situation, and you're going, where did that come from? And you know that was from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about the source. A lot of times we ask the question, why is this happening to me? Why do I feel this way? Where is this coming from? And psychology wants to try to give us answers for that, and lots of other venues wants to give us answers for that. But I hope that you and I can really find out, what does God say about where is this stuff coming from? And once we know where it's coming from, then we can know how to direct it and how to deal with it and how to put some of the stuff down and get rid of it and get the good stuff back up in our life. And so we'll talk about that today. The war inside your attitude is really the same war that's inside of your spirit and inside of your world. It's this war between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. That's the source. It's either your flesh or it's the Holy Spirit. The amazing thing is, in that equation, Satan is not in it. Sometimes we want to blame Satan. Satan made me, you know, the devil made me do it. Anybody ever say that? Or hear somebody say that? Oh, the devil made me do it. But when we look deeper into our attitude, usually it's not the devil. Usually it's just our flesh or our carnality or our old man versus the Holy Spirit, the new person that we're supposed to be as a Christian. And so we're going to go into that today in Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at 13 verses or so. I just wanted to start with verse 13. And it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." I love that concept right there. We are called to liberty. Liberty's the goal. Liberty is what we are supposed to be experiencing. We are called to liberty, freedom. I think of Braveheart, you know, when they're at the end of the movie and Mel Gibson's character is being executed, but his last word and his whole battle and all that he endured was for this one thing, and it was what? You guys didn't do it near as good as he did, but freedom! Liberty. You know, he looked at Bruce, and he just said, if you would lead, people would follow you. I would follow you. He says, we're looking for somebody to lead us into freedom, to lead us into what's right. And Paul just starts out this whole topic today for us saying, you're called into liberty. You're called into freedom. And think about your attitude for a minute regarding liberty. Do you have liberty and freedom with your attitudes? Or do you feel like sometimes your attitude hinders you and hurts you and constrains you and holds you captive? Sometimes I feel like that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that. And God says, Kelly, you're supposed to be in liberty, But sometimes you're so deceived and you're held captive and you're so limited and you don't really know where it's coming from sometimes. You're feeling it, you're experiencing it, you're reacting to it, but do you know where it's coming from? The devil. Nope, it isn't the devil. It is not the devil. If it was the devil, we'd be done with it, right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus said, I come to destroy the works of the devil. If it was the devil, it would be a done deal. But it's not the devil. It's your flesh. It's my flesh. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. We can still get victory, but if you don't understand the source, you're going about it the wrong way in order to get the victory that you want. So liberty is the goal, and liberty is the value, and liberty is the outcome of Christianity. Jesus came to set captives free, not to put them in a different bondage. I want you to think about that sentence for a minute. Jesus came to set us free, not to put us into another bondage. See, Jesus doesn't say, I want to take you out of Satan's bondage and put you in my bondage. That's not the deal. That's not what it's about. And some people think Christianity is a bondage. Some people think that liberty and Christianity, that's oxymoronic. Those two things don't go together. But real Christianity and real liberty goes hand in glove. And it does go together. So here's a question that's worth asking. Do people see us as people of freedom and liberty? When they see the Life Center, when they see Kelly Lineberry, when they see you, do they see you as now there's somebody who's free? There's somebody who has lots of liberty and freedom in their life? Or do they say, what a deceived, pitiful little soul? What do they say when they look at us? Do they say Christianity has the potential to set me free? Jesus came to set me free? Or do they think that Jesus and Christianity is just a bondage, an oppression? We have to answer that question based on how are you living? How am I living? What does your face look like when you are out in public? Do you look like you were baptized in pickle juice? You know, are you all pruned up and sourpuss, you know? Or do you have liberty? Do you walk around all weighed down? Yeah, the devil's been chasing me. Life is so hard. I can't wait till Jesus comes. Or are you experiencing liberty, freedom, joy, peace, love, goodness? We need to be a church full of people that are full of liberty and full of freedom. But if you don't understand the source of that, you get all messed up about it. You get all condemned about it. You get all these boundaries and all this stuff that you're worried about. So hopefully we can open that up for you today. Often Christians are seen as people that are more bound up and more hung up than anybody else. That's sad but true. I want to change that, don't you? Don't you want to change that? I don't want people looking at Christians in the Life Center and going, they're the most bound up, hung up group of people I've ever met. I want them looking at us going, wow, what do they have that I don't have? This Jesus must be amazing. I want the freedom, the liberty, the peace, the joy that they have. I'll have what she's having, right? That's what I want them to feel when they're around us. But it's not natural. It's supernatural. You can't just gut it out and force it. You got to get full of the Spirit of God. You got to get liberty from the Holy Spirit. Let me read, that was what, half of a verse? I got to do better than that, huh? Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Yeah, we have liberty and we have new freedom, but you can't use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for your flesh, just to do what you want to do what you feel like doing, to do it the way you feel like doing it, that liberty and that freedom. We're Americans, so freedom and liberty is a big deal for us, right? Big deal. And when we're Christian Americans, wow, it's a bigger deal even. But if we're not careful, we'll use our liberty and our freedom in a negative way instead of a positive way. And that's what Paul's talking about here. You're free, and you're set free from the law, and you're set free from all that restrictive garbage nonsense, you know. You're free from that, but you can't use that freedom just to do what you want to do in your own flesh. So, well, can you define that? Yeah, Paul defines that just a little later, and we'll get there in just a minute. We'll define what's the flesh and what's the spirit. So we're going to get there and define that pretty quick for us. But through love, serve one another. Your power, your freedom, your life in Christ is really designed so you can serve others. It's really designed that I want to set you free so you can set other people free, so they can set other people free, and so we all can be free. And you should be serving each other with your liberty and serving each other with your energy and serving each other with your spirit-directed life. You should be serving, not serving yourself with your carnal, fleshly desires. And so Paul's trying to divide that line for us. We're talking about attitude. Where's that attitude coming from? The flesh or from the spirit? Let's look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Paul's day, there was a lot of people that loved the law, and they were really struggling between the law and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it hasn't changed a lot today. There's still people really struggling with the law versus grace and liberty, and they're struggling with that. And Paul here, he says, you love the law so much, in order to fulfill the law, you love each other. And I think that's so true. I think the Ten Commandments says, don't hurt anybody and love God. It really means love God and love each other. All Ten Commandments are about loving God and loving each other. They really are. And Paul says here, you guys love the law so much, breaking it down, you can only fulfill the law by loving other people. Then you fulfill the whole law. Jesus said it too, right? He absolutely said that also. Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now there our flesh comes back in. We love comparing. We love pointing fingers. We love blaming everything and everybody else for what's going on inside of us. That's our natural carnal thing. It says, be careful. If you bite with your attitude, if you bite with your accusations, if you bite each other, you will devour each other. Maybe that's why people look at Christianity sometimes and say, what a bunch of bound up, hung up people. Because if we're not careful, we can use our liberty to bite each other. We can use our attitudes to bite each other. Don't be biting me. Right? You should be thinking, no, don't be biting me. Don't be biting each other. We're going to look at the works of the flesh, and we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh has a lot of biting in it. We teach our little kids not to bite, right? That leaves marks. It draws blood sometimes. It hurts. Don't be biting. Thou shalt not bite. Maybe you like it in those terms. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul said, let me give you the solution. You can have liberty. You can help everybody around you have liberty and freedom. But in order to do that, you have to learn to walk in the Spirit and quit walking in the flesh. And every once in a while, we got to recalibrate ourselves. And where's that attitude coming from? Where's that feeling coming from? Where's that reaction coming from? You start baring your teeth. You're getting ready to bite somebody. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the flesh. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish." This battle, the flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. And if you just let the war rage, you will not do what you want to do. You will not be who you want to be. You will not get the results you want to get. You cannot let this battle just rage inside of you. You have to walk in the Spirit and get rid of the influence of this flesh in your attitude, in your heart, in your thinking, in your reactions, in your feelings. And we're going to learn how to do that. We're going to learn how to do that also. I want to read verse 18. "But you are not led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So Paul's saying, if you can learn to let the Holy Spirit lead you, instead of let your flesh lead you, your emotions lead you, let the Spirit lead you, then you are not under the law. You are not under bondage. You are not all bound and restricted. You're going to experience a freedom that is super amazing. So the source of your attitude is either the flesh or the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit could be defined by these three things. Number one, the Holy Spirit lives in you. In order for the Holy Spirit to live in you, you have to be saved. When you get saved, you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. You now have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Sometimes we're expecting unsaved people to act better, but they can't because the Holy Spirit does not live inside of them. So expecting an unsaved person to live the way a Christian is supposed to live is unrealistic. There are some amazing unbelievers that have disciplined themselves in order to get better results in life, but they've done it through just gutting it out and forcing themselves to do it, and it's not been a liberty or a freedom that comes through the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is get the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you are not a Christian today, it's real easy to just say, "God, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. He came and he died on a cross. He rose from the grave 3 days later, and I ask you to be my Savior and cleanse me from all of my sin. I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life." If you'll do that, the Holy Spirit moves in. That's amazing. It's not out there somewhere beneath the pale moonlight. It's inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives. Now you have potential. Now you have a way to overcome the flesh because there's something in you stronger than the old you. There's something inside of you bigger than what has been controlling you your whole entire life. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's God in person living inside of you. Number two, you have to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, having somebody live inside of you and being open and sensitive to that are two different things. I've had relationships with people, I've known people, and I've not been open or sensitive to them, and they have no influence over my life. But there's other people that I'm very open and sensitive to. They can speak into my life. They can question my motives. They can ask me whatever they want to ask. They can correct me. They can help me see what I'm not seeing. And that's a whole different relationship that I'm sensitive to what they're saying and aware of their influence in my life. So being open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it's like, "Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do?" Benny Hinn wrote an amazing book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It's an amazing book. It's just like you need to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's like, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. What are we doing today? What do you want me to be like? Where are we going today, Holy Spirit? And just having this openness and this sensitivity. And number three, you pattern your life after the influence of the Holy Spirit. So he lives in you, you're open and sensitive to him, and now you start to pattern your entire life after his ways, after his directions. That's different than him living in you, right? That's different than just being open and sensitive. Now you've chosen, you're intentional about, I will pattern my life after the things the Holy Spirit is instructing me to do. Say, I'm going to feel like he tells me to feel. I'm going to act like he tells me to act. I'm going to respond like he tells me to respond. I'm going to go where he tells me to go. I'm going to not go where he tells me to quit going. I'm going to pattern my entire life after the Holy Spirit. So that's how you begin to learn to walk in the Spirit. We're in this battle, and if you don't prepare to win, you will always lose. If you don't prepare to win the battle between the flesh and the spirit, you'll always lose it. If you just say, I got Jesus, I'll probably get to heaven, that's good enough. You're going to lose this battle of your attitude. You're going to lose this battle of liberty. You're going to lose this. Wouldn't you like to have liberty now and not just hopefully if you get to heaven? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you guys like to be happy today? I would. Wouldn't you like to have peace and joy and love and gentleness and all that today? I would. Well, you can't have that when you follow your flesh. You can't. You say, well, I have freedom. I'm saved and I can still do this and I can still do that. See, that's where Paul's getting to. He's getting to your attitude and the liberty that you think you have, you use it in a total wrong way, and it's creating all of this restriction and pain and problem in your life. If you would learn to just walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, all of your goals, all of your needs would be marvelously met. It's that simple. But we complicate it by saying, I have the right to do this, I have the right to say that, I have the right to be that, I have the right to feel this way. You only have the right to feel the way the Holy Spirit wants you to feel, to act the way he wants you to act. I mean, you have the right to do whatever you want to do. You can go to hell if you want to go to hell. You have the right to do that. But if you want liberty, and if you want an amazing attitude with amazing results, then you can't keep following your flesh. Because the problem that you're having is not Satan. The problem you're having is your flesh. So let's learn to whip that, and let's learn to walk in the Spirit. Shaking my finger at you now. I always tell Kari, don't you shake that crooked little finger at me. I broke her finger one day when we were moving a folding bed. And you should never close your wife's finger in the hinge of a folding bed. And when you can't get it to latch, you shouldn't just use brute force to repetitively slam it. And she's hurting so bad. When I'm just looking at this and I'm slamming it and I can't get it to latch and she's hurting so bad she has no air, she can't say anything. And finally I look up and her face is white and she has this run, Kelly, run look, you know, in her eyes. So I broke her finger, but now she shakes it at me. I'll try not to shake my finger at you guys. Here are some ways we can fight the flesh. Number one, you just have to be able to say no to the flesh and its desires. Just say no. You just have to say no. The cool thing is that you don't rest in your own power to say no and resist. You now have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You now have him coaching you and helping you and empowering you. So you have a greater ability to say no as a Christian than you've ever had before. Say no to your flesh. Just say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm not thinking that way about that person anymore. I'm not. I'm saying no to my flesh. So that's the first one. The second one is you have to be able to starve your flesh from bad influences. You have to starve that thing, that fleshly attitude that is messing you up. You have to starve it. You have to cut it off from everything that feeds it. There are things that feed your bad attitude. There's things that feed your addictions. There's things that feed your unforgiveness. There's things that feed all of that ugly stuff inside of you, and you have to starve it and let it die. Starve it. I mean, I could talk a lot about how to do that, but you guys can do that application on your own, right? Could you figure that out on your own? Starve those works of the flesh. Maybe it's certain people who always want to stir you up in that negative direction. You may have to draw a line and say, I'm not going to talk about that with you anymore. Love you. We can hang out, but we're not going there anymore. No more. If you have a problem with lust, then you just need to starve that thing. Don't watch the movies. Don't listen to that music. You need to start starving that thing. Whatever it is, anger, violence, you might want to starve the things that stir up anger and violence in you, the things that say anger and violence is cool in our society. You might want to start starving that. So you starve that. And the third thing is we have to strengthen ourselves in the Spirit and follow His influence. Say no to the flesh. Starve your flesh in those areas, and then get stronger in the Holy Spirit and His influences. So the inner influence of the Spirit is far greater than the outer influence of the law. That's a powerful phrase that just says, if you're going to change, you got to change from the inside out. There's not enough power externally to change you. I've tried to change people with external power. It doesn't work. They call it kidnapping and an illegal imprisonment. I don't know what they call it. I mean, it doesn't work to externally try to change people. Sometimes I have conversations with people about, what do you think I should do about this situation? A lot of times my question is, what result do you want? Well, this is the result that I want. Is saying that going to give you the result you want? No, but it's really going to feel good. I know, that's the problem. That's the problem. We want to say what really feels good instead of saying what's going to get the result we want. We want to do the thing that's going to make our flesh really feel good, give you a piece of my mind, and one of my knuckles too, if you're not careful. It'll really make me feel good for a moment, but it's not going to give me the result that I want. And the Holy Spirit, He's smart. He will tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it to get this amazing result that you wanted. How many times have I, personally, I'll just talk about me, have I wanted a result, been frustrated, been upset, said the wrong stuff, acted the wrong way, ended up making it 100 times worse instead of better, instead of just listening to the Holy Spirit? 3 or 4 weeks ago, I talked to you about one of my parenting times when the Holy Spirit told me to do something opposite of what I was doing, and I did it, and it worked out so amazing. That was like 1 out of 100 times. Let's talk about the 99 times when Kelly did what was in his flesh instead of what the Holy Spirit wanted, and talk about those bad results. We don't have enough time for me to do that. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. He said, I really don't need to tell you what these are. You guys know. You see them. You feel them. You experience them. They're evident. Let me tell you what the works of the flesh are. They're adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness. And those are sensual sins. Those are sexual sins. He says, that's the work of the flesh. Those are things you need to starve. Those are things that you need to to just say no more. Those are things that you need to kill and let the Holy Spirit lead you in a whole different way. The next thing is idolatry and sorcery. And those are religious sins. Those are sins against God. Those are sins that we're not serving the only true God, creator of heaven and earth, but we've been deceived and we're serving other gods and other religions. And those are fleshly because, let me just go through the list and I'll come back to them. Here's interpersonal sins or interpersonal works of the flesh. Hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension. There's just always a disagreement. There's always not seeing things eye to eye. There's always a comparison. There's always a I'm right and I'm more right and you're more wrong. There's always that dissension going on. Heresy, and that's just untruth. Believing things that aren't true, thinking things that aren't true. You've assessed it, evaluated it, you've come up with your conclusion, but it's not a true conclusion. It's out of your flesh. Envy, murder. Murder's the work of the flesh. And then there's these social sins, drunkenness and revelries. And just parties that are unrestrained, parties for the sake of partying versus celebrating something or versus, you know, wholesome getting together and fellowshipping together, these unrestrained parties and drunkenness, that's a work of the flesh. And we'll talk about why in just a second. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a powerful, huge, big old statement right there, isn't it? Because if we're not careful, we think I have liberty to do some of this stuff and still be saved and still be okay. And we don't want to go back into legalism and the law, but Paul said, I told you all along, and I'm telling you again, that if you habitually practice this stuff, your eternal condition is at severe risk. You're not saved. That's big. That's huge. I don't know about you, but I would never want to miss heaven over some silly little work of the flesh. Would you? I would never want to do that. Never, ever. And I have a lot more confidence and grace and all of that. Paul's the greatest preacher and teacher of grace, and yet he throws this right out at us. He said, you think you have liberty, but you're using your liberty for an occasion to your flesh. And if you're doing that, you're probably not even really saved. If you're habitually, continually involved in these works of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, a little more of why of that. So the works are works, and fruit is fruit. I read that in one of the commentaries this week as I was studying. Works are works, and fruit is fruit. And I thought, what is the dude saying? Works are things you do. Fruit is something you naturally produce because of what's inside of you. I'm just going, wow. Fruit occurs because you're abiding in Christ. And the natural outflow of that is this fruit. But works occur because you're just intentionally with your decisions, with your conscious mind, making those choices time after time after time, and you're working your flesh instead of having the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of you. And Paul's really just saying, quit working your flesh and let the fruit of the Spirit rule your life. I go, is it that simple? Just quit working the flesh? You guys know how to quit working, right? You've all quit working before. You just quit. You just take the gloves off, go inside, get a glass of lemonade, sit down, turn on
Northwest Cable News, you just quit. It's the same thing with your flesh. You just quit working your flesh. Take that stuff off, set it aside, and let's go do this spirit thing. Watch your attitude shift and change if you would do that. Fruit isn't achieved by working, it's birthed by abiding. Fruit is fragile. The works of the flesh aren't fragile. Work is strong. Work is tough. Super duty, you know, work is strong. But fruit is fragile. You can bruise the stuff. Fruit reproduces itself. That's cool. There's a seed in it that'll cause it to reproduce itself. And then you get more, and you get more, and you get more. I just read a stat that this was a great year for apples. And in Washington, it is their best, I think one of their best years ever. And I thought, man, when I drive through the Okanagan Valley, they've been tearing out orchards for a decade. They've been ripping orchards out. And yet, higher production this year than ever before. Fruit has a seed in itself, and it produces some amazing stuff. All of these fruits are one thing, the characteristics of love. He didn't say the fruits of the Spirit, even though I say fruits plural a lot of times, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular, and it's all about love. Doesn't it always come back to that when you're talking about God and Christianity? It always comes back to love. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second? Is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two things, you will fulfill the entire law of God. Who is God? God is love. 1 John 4. It really all comes back to love. It always comes back to love. And I guarantee you, love will change people much more than external pressure every time, all the time. Every time, all the time. This fruit of the Spirit, it just grows up out of love. It'll change you. If you can focus on love more than anything else, your attitude will totally shift. Not just love for yourself, because that's the flesh, isn't it? Love for yourself. If you're not careful, you say, well, this doesn't make me feel good, and this makes me angry, and this complicates my life, and me. Quit that, right? It's not really, if it is about you, there's not enough power in that to help and change things. And he says, don't use your liberty as an occasion for your flesh. Use your liberty to serve others. Let's go back to the list of the works of the flesh again. We went back to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Those are all sexual sins that are selfish, and they reduce others to be objects of your pleasure to be used. You see how it's about you instead of them? And that's the flesh. It isn't because sex is bad, because sex isn't bad. Sex is awesome, actually. God created it. It's really fun. It's really cool. But sex is designed for you to please and fulfill and amaze and get closer to your spouse. Not for you to be personally gratified by using somebody else for your own pleasure. So adultery and fornication and lewdness and all of that, that's just the total misuse of those things for yourself instead of loving somebody else the way you're supposed to. It goes quiet in the church. Idolatry and sorcery, those involve rebellion and self-seeking. It's like, I don't really like what God wants me to change and do. Can I find a religion that lets me do what I want to do? Can I find a religion that lets me serve myself better? Even in the Old Testament, they had temple prostitutes and they had sexual religions, you know. I'm back on that topic again. But it's like, yeah, who wouldn't want to join that religion? I'll sign up, right? It's like, who wouldn't want to join that religion? And there's a lot of religions in our world that are that way. It's like, everything's cool, everything's God, everything's okay. Don't judge each other, just be at peace, cool dude. Yeah. Let's join that one. But those false religions are really all about serving you and making it easier for you instead of you serving others and serving the Lord. Rebellion and self-seeking. The word sorcery even comes from the word pharmakia, pharmacy. Sorcery, that word even, it involves drugs. The serving of yourself with drugs and then stealing people's stuff so you can get more drugs and holding up pharmacies so you can get more drugs and just that self-seeking, I don't care who has to pay what price in order for me to get my drugs. This morning on our Facebook page, I said this. I said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. And the works of your flesh look cool on the surface, but it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay a lot more than you want to pay. It will. Those interpersonal sins are hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, and murder. You see any attitude in those things? You see any bad attitude stuff there? Yeah, a couple, yeah. And those social sins, drunken and revelry. See, all of that was just the opposite of love. It was just the opposite of love. Social sins of drunkenness and revelries. Toxic attitudes coming out of drunkenness and partying. Have you seen those toxic attitudes come out? I saw on the news today where they were going to charge the school superintendent and some adults in the rape of that freshman girl that the football players raped a few months ago. And they said, if we're going to hold these young men accountable for their actions, then we need to hold the adults accountable. There was trying to be a little cover-up, trying to be a little hush-hush of it. And at least that was the accusation. It hasn't been proven. It'll go to court, and we'll see who is true and what's right there. But partying can create all sorts of problems. It can. So I just want to go to the party. Everybody's going to the party. Yeah, you're supposed to starve some of that stuff instead of feed it. Let's have our own parties. Let's have great parties. Let's just not rape anybody, and let's not get drunk, and let's not have any fist fights, and let's have some good parties, right? I'm all for that. Sign me up. All right, let's wind this thing down. So all of these fruits are the characteristic of love. It's really defined by this: loving people who aren't easy to love and loving people you don't like. See, that's where attitude comes in. Love people you don't want to love, that aren't easy to love, and even love people you don't like. If you could do that, your attitude is going to be easy. But if we don't like somebody, or somebody's hard to like or hard to love, we give ourselves liberty to not have to love them. I don't have to love them because they said they did that because of the wonderful things that he does. Sometimes that stuff just pops out of me, sorry. I don't even like The Wizard of Oz. I've never watched it all the way through, ever. I always fall asleep when the little munchkins are following the yellow brick road or something. I don't know. Starve the Wizard of Oz. The works of the flesh are a violation and a perversion of real love. So stay away from that stuff. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't you want more of that in your life? Hallelujah. I want more of that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sometimes I think if everybody else had that, my life would be easier. I wouldn't have any problems. If everybody else had the fruit of the Spirit, I wouldn't have any works of the flesh. But see, I can't control them. I can only control me. I can only control my thoughts and my attitudes. And what I know is that a bunch of external pressure will not help them shift and change. But my functioning in the fruit of the Spirit will help them shift and change. It really will. So we're talking about the source of our attitudes there. Paul said, against such there is no law. Nobody's ever written a law against joy or peace or kindness or gentleness. There's no reason to write laws against that stuff. Everybody wants that. Everybody's looking forward to that. So let's create more of that in our world. We can win this battle if we would just recognize the origin of our attitude, do those three things to kill the flesh, and do those other three things in order to walk in the Spirit. And the cool thing is, it's your choice. It's simply your choice. You can walk out of here today and go, I choose to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Or you can walk out of here today and go, I'm just going to keep functioning in the flesh. You get to choose. You get to choose. I hope you want liberty. I hope that you want to show the world that this Jesus sets us free. I hope you want to show the world what an amazing God that we serve. I hope you want to do that and help them find him too. So draw from the right source. He concludes with some interesting phrases. Don't provoke one another. Should we read those? Verse 24 says, and those who are Christ, apostrophe S, do you belong to Christ? You're Christian, you're in church today? Do you belong to Christ? They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You need to nail your flesh to that cross. Crucify your flesh. Kill it. Starve it to death. Tell it no. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with their passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Don't be conceited. Don't provoke each other. And don't envy one another. Draw from the right source and your attitude will be beneficial and amazing. Amen? Amen. What's the source? Your flesh or the Holy Spirit? You get to choose. It's your choice. The devil's not going to make you do it. It's your choice. It's your choice. Get out your Connect cards today, if you would, please. Love everybody to fill those out for us today and every Sunday. Several things there for you to do, or options for you to do anyway. Regarding the sermon, it's, I am determined to win the war between my flesh and the Holy Spirit. I will no longer be a victim in this battle. And boy, that's true. Sometimes you're the victim, even when you think your decision